Jim Rutledge.
For me, Jordan Love can start shutting people up by just winning the damn division one time.
Molly Brown.
You should be going further than getting a 7 seed and not winning a playoff game. That is a fact. You should be getting further with this team that you have.
Welcome to Wisconsin's Afternoon Hangout.
Do you think the Packers would win 5?
Yes, that's what I said.
Neutral
field? I said it 3 times. 5 and 5.
Why?
This is Molly and Jim, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
It's good to hear you're still a positive person after working with Jim for as long as you have.
Alongside Molly Brown, here's Jim Rutledge.
Welcome into Molly and Jim, presented by Coors Light. Mountains are always blue, and sometimes we are chill. The Brewers got another victory. A little web gem. At the end there to hold on for the Milwaukee Brewers. A web gem. Back in the day, Baseball Tonight, they called it a web gem because you have a webbing in your glove.
Okay.
And it's a gem of a play. So it is a web gem. I believe Jory Ortiz made the web gem, right, Riley?
Okay.
Yeah.
You just want to teach me a new baseball word every day? Is that where we're at?
That's, cool. That's what we're doing. Yeah,
sounds
absolutely.
Good.
You know what? Chalmers Jewelers has got great gems. They have diamonds. They have rubies. Emeralds. They have so many gems all over the place. And obviously coming off baseball is worth talking about diamonds because that's what they refer to the baseball diamond as.
Shut up.
It's like a shape of a diamond, Molly. I don't know if you knew that. But Chalmers Jewelers in Madison and Middleton, great place for custom jewelry. Maybe you can get Molly a custom box score thing. We can keep score games.
I would love to have a custom box score.
Yeah.
Sounds awful.
Sounds like something Riley's excited about.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, might as well. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Why blew the air horn?
that was going on there? All right. So get into the show, 844-770-3776. That's the Carbos Talk text line. List is more. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream. And stream us on the ESPN Wisconsin app. I know we're coming after Brewers, Molly, but I want to talk about the Green Bay Packers. And if I asked you, and I know you know the answer a little bit here, but if I asked you to tell me how many blue chip players the Packers have on their roster under the age of 25, you know, like how many do you think there would be just intuitively based off of like what we kind of assume the Packers are?
I don't even know who's under 25 anymore, right? Like who are, and
I mean, according to ESPN, nobody good. So,
right. Cause I'm just trying to think. Cause like Christian Watson is,
he's over. So here, while I do this here, while you look that up, I'm going to mention that ESPN ranked the Packers' core talent. So the way they define core talent is under the age of 25. They ranked 30th out of 32 teams in the NFL. And last year they were 23rd.
Okay.
ESPN says they have no blue chip players under the age of 25. So it is worth noting that graduated players, now they're not saying these guys are blue chips. I would say one of them is a blue chip. Tucker Kraft is a blue chip. Lucas Van Ness is now at least 25
totally blue
or older.
Chip.
Right. And then Evan Williams is the other one. I wouldn't call him blue chip. He's a good player, though. And here's what they had to say. We'll start on defense with linebacker Adrian Cooper, who will be 25 in November. Cornerback Carrington Valentine still qualifies for our list as he will turn 25 in September. And safety nickelback Javon Bullard is 23. Rookie second-round cornerback Brandon Cease is only 21 years old. Cease, I'm sorry. Yeah. On offense, the important name is last year's first-round pick, Matthew Golden, who will be 23 on August 1st after posting 29 catches for 362 yards in 2025. But much of this offense turned 25 in the past year, including Kraft, Luke Musgrave, Jordan Morgan, and Anthony Belton, which is wild that Anthony Belton turned 25.
Yeah, that is crazy.
But so that's kind of the broad overview there.
What qualifies as blue chip? Because I'm looking at this and it says linebacker Adrian Cooper is 24 years old. And
right,
he was just ranked as a top 10 in his position in the league. I'm just curious of like what is the line of blue chip or not?
If I had to say, it's because of his position.
Okay.
That's just not he is an elite player, but that's considered an on-ball defender, on-ball linebacker there, right, Riley? Because he's over like this, over the center?
I believe he's an off-ball linebacker.
But off-ball linebacker is the least valuable, actually one of the least valuable positions on defense according to like advanced analytics. Now,
interesting.
I think Adrian Cooper at that position is a blue chip player, but it is a position that often. That's why you see a lot of middle linebackers come up in free agency, because they just kind of cycle through them.
Okay.
But I think he's a very good player.
But I guess I can't argue with it, because I'm, like I said, I pulled up the list of people that are 25 and under for the Green Bay Packers this year, and like, honestly, a lot of these games, I don't even know if I've seen, or names, I don't even think I've seen a lot of these names before. I mean, the only other one that I think could pop off and be a blue chip potentially is Javon Bullard. I do like him a lot at the safety position, but otherwise, like, there's not really a case to be made of anybody right now.
So the interesting part here is, if you look at that list, and it's on ESPN, the teams around the Packers are the Rams, the Broncos, and the Bills.
Okay.
Now, all
great teams to be associated with.
Right. But I'm not going to, I don't know what the Broncos did this offseason, so I might be missing something here. But the Rams obviously decided, like, hey, we're an older team.
Yep.
We're going to go for it. Our talent, and I don't even mean necessarily, you know, old on the back end of it, but they have some good young talented players as well, the Rams do. And you look at it and go, we're going to go for it. Our talent is matured. Our talent is ready to compete for a Super Bowl. I would say the Bills are looking at the same thing. That's why they fired their coach, because they said, oh, our talent is mature enough and we're not getting far enough.
Or they just wanted to blame somebody.
Maybe that's it,
and
too.
And you can't blame Josh.
There was a couple years in a row. Honestly, the thing, I get what you're saying. I think the biggest thing they had with there was that he's a defensive-minded coach, and Josh Allen did right. better when he had a smart OC and Dable. So I think it's more of like, maybe the OC in charge will change the mindset there. But they added DJ Moore. So they said, hey, you know what? It wasn't good enough. We can't rely on young receivers. We can't rely on everyone to develop. We're going to go get someone to really make life easier for Josh Allen. And then obviously the Rams, they went and got Myles Garrett, and they might be bringing back Aaron Darnold. Now, those players are over 30, but I think Garrett's still within his prime, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so those teams have all, on some level, made a push, and obviously the Broncos were a Bo Nix injury away from playing in the Super Bowl. Those teams have all said, you know what, we are going to put our chips to the table and go win a Super Bowl, which means maybe we have to leverage assets or leverage the salary cap. Now, the Packers have done more than normal, but they still seem to be in no man's land right now, because they are not making moves year over year like the Rams and the Bills, other teams are, who are like, we need to win now, but they're also not backfilling their talent like the top teams on the list as far as under 25, mm-hmm. which includes the New England Patriots, and then the Houston Texans and the Chicago Bears. Now, two of those three teams are playoff teams. So the Packers are not a team full of up and young incomers of like, okay, we're under 25, we're going to come up. And then they have mature talent at 25, but I don't know if they're I wouldn't put them there with the Rams.
No, I wouldn't put them there with the Rams. I think, honestly, I think the Rams are head and shoulders above everybody in the NFL. But to me, it's almost interesting, like, the age that we're talking about, their age is almost the one thing that I'm like, that might kill you. Like, I don't mean that. Like,
yeah. Well, they might die out there. They're old. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. No, I got you. Yeah.
But, like, they're one Matthew Stafford injury away from not doing anything. They're right. One Devontae. I mean, not necessarily Devontae Adams, but, like, Devontae Adams. He didn't stay healthy last year.
Yep.
And then all the other old guys that they picked up.
So
but,
the one I would go with, Myles Garrett injury. Because quarterback, you just got to take away. Because the Packers are one Jordan Love injury. I'm sorry, Tyrod Taylor is not going to do anything with this team. As far as like, if we
thought that with Malik Willis too. I'm not saying I don't even know who their back. Oh, their backup is Ty Simpson, right? Right.
Rams. Yep.
Yeah.
If Tyrod,
not sold on Ty Simpson.
No. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if there's any.
Sure. I feel like they have a vet in there.
No. Ty Simpson is number. Okay. He's drafted. They're doing the Packers model.
Right. Okay.
Let him develop under an older guy.
Jordan Love. If he was out for an extended period of time.
Yeah, I wouldn't
right.
feel
so
comfortable.
So, like, most
by
teams,
any means.
You take the quarterback out.
Stetson Bennett is their third stringer, for what it's worth.
Woof. He's actually older than Matthew Stafford. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I know, pretty much. My goodness.
But you're right on Garrett and Darnold. Like, there are some key defensive players who are more likely than quarterbacks to get hurt, that if they get hurt, the whole thing unravels. We saw that with the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not saying the Packers are in, like, a horrible position, but it's just, it was shocking to me, one, to say that they were near the bottom of the league as far as players under 25. Yeah. So there's not a backfill coming in. And the Packers don't like people over the age of 30, for the most part.
A lot of men don't.
Got a year there, Molly. So, 25 to 30. And that's a tight window to try to win in with these players. And so I'm curious where Goody's trying to take this team, because half measures, I think, is what could get the Packers in trouble. And they used to have the identity of, like, we are going to be young. We're always the youngest team in the league. And the youngest team in the league also implied that they're very talented based off the wins.
Right.
That young talent has developed. And a lot of it hit. Like, Jordan Love, you know, Tucker Kraft, like, those are good players.
Right.
So my point on it is the Packers should be doing even more to be, like, going for it.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I look at the Packers and I'm like, I don't necessarily mind the way that Brian Gutekunst is constructing this team, like, because for so long the narrative has been, like you said, youngest team in the NFL, but with being young and the youth, there's the immaturity. And then when it comes to situations like you're in the playoffs, you're immature and you do things stupid because you don't have that experience. So, we need to add in some veterans. So I feel like Brian Gutekunst has probably taken that, where he's like, okay, so we were too young to have success, to have the ultimate success. Now we're going to add in a couple more people. Like, you know, they got Hargrave. They brought in Micah Parsons.
He was
like,
stinky last year.
No, I'm not saying that they brought in good veterans, but I'm saying they brought in some veterans to bring up some age. Now it's not bringing in a Myles Garrett, obviously, but they did that with Micah Parsons.
Yes, they
did. And I don't know if he's necessarily the true veteran leader, whatever it is. He's looking good right now in Green Bay in a new situation. But yeah, I guess I don't know what Brian Gutekunst is doing, but I also don't hate it at the same time, because what is he supposed to do? Like, you already did all the young guys under, you don't like people under 29 or whatever, over 29, whatever it is. Like, now he's kind of leaning into, okay, so that didn't work. Now I have to fix things, and his way of fixing things is by bringing in the older age guys.
Yeah, and that I.
But
you're
also,
right.
With like the like, what was he supposed to do this offseason? What has there been a move that has happened this year that you're like, ah, Packers really should have gone after that person?
Well, you know my theory on the salary cap. There's always money in the banana stand
for sure.
So the off, I don't know a specific move, but the offensive line is way too much of a question mark for me, if I was a Packers fan, because if that's bad, the whole thing is cooked. I don't like counting on Wilson and Lynch as backups to Josh Jacobs coming off of a year where it was a down year.
Lloyd.
I say,
you said Lynch, Marshawn. I wish it was Marshawn Lynch.
Lloyd, sorry.
If I could take 45-year-old Marshawn Lynch eating Skittles while he's playing games, I will 100% take it.
Lloyd, right. But then you look at the receivers as well. Like, you're still requiring Christian Watson to be healthy, and I'm fine leaving the receivers alone. But you could have used another. Musgrave stinks, and like, Tucker's great, but you could have used another tight end.
We talked about that when the draft came around.
Right, and then you look at the offensive line. I think it's very much in question, and same with backup running back, and I think they could use a true complement to Jacobs. And I don't know, maybe a real number one corner.
Right.
And I'm not saying you could have filled all those things, but the Packers were conservative this offseason, and that's the part that's interesting to me. It's like every other offseason, they're like, we're going to go big, and then like, all right, we're going to lick our wounds.
But do you think it's almost, like, I know it's a different sport. Don't come after me. I understand that it's different. But do you almost feel like there's, like, they look at other teams, they look at teams like the Milwaukee Bucks that do make huge splashes and then see how that happens? Like, that's probably a poor example of a team, obviously, but I'm just thinking, imagine the Packers taking a splash every single offseason. At what point is it all just going to be like, poof, this is just going to explode in your face?
Okay, but at what if it explodes in your face after a Super Bowl, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, you don't really, I mean, I don't.
Yes, 100%. I guess with what we talk about with Riley and the Brewers, he doesn't want this to happen for the Brewers. No, I'm good if it gets you a Super Bowl, but like.
You got to risk it for the biscuit sometimes, though.
You do.
It's just a matter of like.
But taking another, like Micah Parsons was a big risk, big investment there.
It's just the half measures. He's 100%, and like, that measure should be patted on the back. But there's money available. You can move money around. There's not another free agent you could have gotten. I like, those are the things that we all agree that they have, and I think why it's a good defensive lineman, but I wouldn't call him necessarily a pass rusher. So they have one pass rusher in Parsons, who's not going to play nine games, maybe. And so the rest is just maybe they're good, maybe they're not. So there's just so many question marks on this team. So I guess I would say that pick a lane, Goody, because his roster construction, or maybe he has picked a lane and he's just bad at drafting recently.
Which is pretty true, I would say. At least in the first round.
Right. I mean, we talked about this the other day. Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness, along with the two first-round picks, are truly the cost for Micah Parsons, because you wasted two picks on those two guys who you wanted to be Micah Parsons. You couldn't get it done, so you said, instead of wasting picks again, we're going to take two first-rounders and go get Micah Parsons, which was the smart thing to do.
Right.
But if I'm Goody, I'm learning from that. Of like, look, I know I want my young guys to develop, but if I can get a guy that can get me 2 years and I can make a contract that's essentially a two-year deal, we can fluff it up however we want, then maybe I can go win instead of waiting around hoping the Rams get hurt.
Yeah.
And it's just curious to me, because the Packers used to be the team that always had players backfilling on the come up, very similar to the Brewers.
Yeah.
And they were 3 years ago, Matt LaFleur, this team was all these young players. Well, now those players are technically mature. They're not too old, but now they're kind of in. They are who they are. I mean, I know that everyone wants to make more out of different players, but really at 25, a couple years in the league, a couple years starting, you are who you are for the most part. And so this team is showing over and over again they're underachieving, and the Packers kind of just rolled it back. And I'm not saying they're not going to be in the mix for the playoffs or anything. I just think we're always trying to find a reason why are they short. And maybe it's some of that, of they're short because they're just not good enough to get all the way over the top. But Carbon World Health can help you get over the top with your fitness goals, whether that's working out at Carbon World Health, whether that is hormone replacement treatment, GLP-1s. There's so many great things, cryotherapy, all of that at Carbon World Health. This is Molly Jim.
One of the best parts of Door County is finding those local spots that capture the flavor. Door County Distillery is that place to be. Made locally right there in Carlsville, Door County Distillery crafts small batch spirits with Wisconsin ingredients and that unmistakable Door County character. Stop in and stock up for the summer today with Door County Distillery. Find your local retailer and more at DoorCountyDistillery.com.
So when you look at the Green Bay Packers, are they in no man's land as far as their roster? That they're not quite to the all-in roster of the Broncos, the Bills, and the Rams. But they're not this team that is this sort of like up-and-coming juggernaut where you have this backfill of like you're excited. The Packers right now are in the sweet spot of developed players. They have a lot of good players over 25 and under 30.
Yes.
According to ESPN, they don't have a backfill of that.
Yes. Turn your mic on, Molly.
Yes. So, I mean, does that concern you?
So it's kind of interesting, because I was listening to Jen Game and Chewy this morning, and I missed like the first like 30 minutes of their show, but I did hear when Adam Schefter joined, and they kind of asked him the question of like, do you think that it's more important to have dangerous players or depth?
Yeah.
And I almost wonder, like, where did the Packers land on that? Like, because I do think that they have dangerous players. I think Christian Watson can be dangerous. I think Jordan Love can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. I think Tucker Kraft can. Micah Parsons. Yep.
All guys squarely in the middle of their prime.
Xavier McKinney. Yeah.
Yep.
So it's like they do have dangerous players. It's just if one of those dangerous players goes down, they don't have any depth. Like, I mean, I'm worried about the first half of the season with Micah Parsons being out and Lucas Van Ness essentially replacing that. That makes me concerned. But Lucas Van Ness is a starter.
But that goes to the under 25. Like, those young players, I think it speaks a little bit to Goody the last year or two hasn't drafted well. I mean, we'll have to see. This guys could pop on the list. Weirdly, Belton's graduating already. Like, but
yeah, he was like 21.
It does point out like Golden is a huge difference maker here.
Yeah.
Like if he pops off, then the draft looks better. But if he doesn't, and if he's Jaden Reed, that's fine, but that's not a blue chip player.
Well, and we've also talked about it too, is there's a lot of pressure being put on him. There's a lot of pressure being put on him last year with as there should be. Like, I think we all did it because we were all excited. They hadn't drafted a wide receiver in 20 some odd years. Like, he was a first round draft pick. It was in Green Bay. There was so much to be excited about with him last year. And I think there's still so much to be excited about with him. But even I'm thinking, I'm like, I don't know if he's gonna be a guy that pops off until like year three. Which I'm good with as long as he pops off. Just pop off at like by year three. You have to. Otherwise.
Well, the interesting thing is the signing of Reed, it doesn't negate golden, but I did think the two of them are a little bit redundant.
They're very similar. Similar bodies, similar play, everything.
And Golden, I think, is more explosive, but it sounds like on the field, and we can see it, that Reed is more of a professional wide receiver, the word that Mel Kiper likes to use. And I'm not saying Golden can't get there, but I think Golden was more of a project. And that's why I was trying to, when he was drafted last year, lower expectations for him. I know everyone assumes this because I wanted to be a jerk, but he was a guy that was viewed that in other drafts, like if he was drafted the year before, he would have been a clear second or third rounder. So part of his, the way he was picked was because it was a lighter class for wide receivers. And he has the amazing skill of being very, very fast, and he has really good hands. But can he run routes? Can he do all those other things? Now, when I look at Golden this year, and maybe you're right that let's say Matthew Golden has a year where he's, you describe him mostly as gadgety, that he's running short routes, screens, end-arounds, nothing crazy or kind of trick plays that maybe gets him open in a non-traditional way. That, to me, can be a positive for LaFleur, but still a red flag, in my opinion, for the future of Golden, because that indicates that he is someone that still hasn't learned the nuances of being a wide receiver. And you still can maximize him. He won't be a wasted talent. But if he isn't a guy that is running clear, complicated, and important and mid to deep routes and looking like someone who's integrated into the offense by the end of this season, then I would write him off on being a number one. He still can be a very good wide receiver and still be a weapon.
Yeah, I want him to be Justin Jefferson. I don't want him to be Jaden Reed 2.0. That's where I am with him.
And I would imagine you're, at this moment, leaning more towards
Jaden Reed 2.0?
Yeah.
Probably.
Which isn't bad. Like, you still would be like, you know what, out of a first-round pick,
right?
You know, it's not the end of the world.
Right. I mean, yeah, I think Jaden Reed is a good player, but also, do you need two of them on your roster? Like, that's the problem.
That's the interesting thing to me when they re-sign Reed, because
I mean, they got a deal on him.
They did, and I think that's probably why they did it. And if Golden, to your point, you might have been proven right, or the Packers might have told you this the way they paid Golden. I mean, I'm sorry, paid Reed.
Yeah.
Of like, hey, Golden's going to take a little time. So by the time Reed's contract is wrapped up, Golden will be ready to really take that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And in this world, Golden doesn't need to be the guy next year. I don't even know if he needs to be the guy in year three. He just needs to be projecting and moving forwards towards being the guy, because let's say he gets better in year two, and in year three he's really looking like he passes Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the hope is they can walk away from Watson, and Golden's your over the top number one wide receiver. You let Watson's contract, and I think he'd be over 30 at that point, let his contract either expire or walk, and then you're backfilling with other young players. Like, that's the ideal scenario for Golden.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's just been so long since the Packers have had a clear-cut number one. Like, and I know that that was the whole, again, going back to the philosophy of Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, I remember Matt LaFleur just like 2 years ago or last year, whenever it was, saying, we don't need to have a number one. We don't need it. Like, we can divvy up the ball here and there and blah, 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 blah. And then obviously it ended up, actually having a number one guy is kind of nice. And then having those other guys that can be gadgety and be that over-the-top guy, to be those guys you can rely on like a third down or whatever it is. But, it is nice to have a Davante Adams, isn't it? So, like, if Matthew Golden can, please, God, just please do that. Wouldn't that just be so exciting?
And I said it last year, I'm going to say it again. If I'm picking someone to be the true number one for the Green Bay Packers, it's Tucker Kraft.
Well, yeah, I think so, too, because, especially the way that he was trending last year.
And I'm not, like, but I'm just, you look at the Chiefs, and they never really had an outside guy, but they had Kelce in his prime when he was better. And so, and you
the
look
49ers,
at
George Kittle, he was the guy.
Mm-hmm. And they had other good receivers. They had Samuel as the gadgety guy.
Yep.
And so you just have to have a guy. It can be a tight end. It can be a wide receiver. And I just don't see Golden just turning into that guy. It doesn't mean he won't be a good football player, though. He could still just be a really productive wide receiver, which you would take out of number one. There's plenty of number one bust at wide receiver. I feel like it's got a pretty high bust rate.
if the Packers' hierarchy of pass catchers goes Tucker Kraft, and he plays at the elite level we saw last year. Christian Watson, he plays at the level we saw him in spurts play last year. Maybe not elite, but very good. And Matthew Golden gets to that good, very good point this year as the third option. I'm really happy with who the Packers have with that lineup. Then you have Jaden Reed as a fourth option. Savion Williams can be your gadgety, weird, sort of mix-it-up kind of guy. I'm really content with the Packers' group of pass catchers if that's how the lineup
what
shakes out.
What happens if, like, what I think will happen is that Watson and, well, it'll be Kraft, Watson, Reed in the order of importance in this offense. Mm. Golden will be add more importance over the course of the year, but Golden is the gadgety guy. And it does. I don't mean that in a bad way, but you're going to take advantage of what he does well.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't, and that's the one critique you could make against LaFleur is, okay, Golden couldn't understand the playbook, and maybe he doesn't run routes in a way that he can get open in year one. So just get him the ball, like, hand it off to him, throw it behind, you know, do something just to get the ball in his hands because he is explosive with the ball in his hands. They didn't do that last year. I think they'll make more of an effort to do that this year. And maybe they just didn't realize that they don't have the traditional, and he is smaller too. They don't have a traditional wide receiver there, but they can maximize his talent because I think that's more important. Back to our conversation about like going to win a Super Bowl, it is more important the Packers figure out a way to maximize Matthew Golden this year than try to see if he can be a number one, the next Justin Jefferson. If he's the next Samuel for a couple years,
yeah,
great. I mean, he's not as big, but different type of player. I just think that, correct me if I'm wrong, but like his biggest play against the Bears, it wasn't very far down the field, correct?
Maybe 2 yards. It was a screen pass right near the line of scrimmage.
He was close to the end zone, no?
He took it.
It was, I think, about 15, 20 yards away.
Kay. Yeah.
It wasn't a big throw.
It was a big play by him.
Right.
And I think you're going to see a lot more of that, and then you can use him as a decoy and then get Watson to go. Like, I think he'll be used in an important part of the offense.
Yeah.
But
if Matt LaFleur is the genius on the offensive side of the ball that we think he is and that we want to say he is, then he should be able to make Matthew Golden successful. He's had time to learn the playbook. Yeah. He's had time to adjust to being in the NFL as a whole. Now you got to go show it.
I don't know what his stats will be, but I feel he'll definitely have more of an impact.
Yeah.
Like last year.
I mean, he has to have more of an impact. Let's just be honest.
In the regular season and outside of really one play, Matthew Golden had no impact last year on the Packers.
Right. Correct.
So it's not a bold statement to say he's going to have more of an impact, but he'll be an impactful player. He might be the fourth most impactful wide receiver, but honestly, that's a win.
Yeah.
Because the other ones, I should say pass catcher. Kraft, Watson, Reed, and if Golden's behind that.
Musgrave.
If you're behind Musgraves,
God,
you're in trouble. Because Musgraves is a miss, I will tell you that. You know who doesn't miss? Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. Go be a winner and go to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. That's where millions of dollars are won every single weekend at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. Next weekend, you can win up to $25,000 on Friday, July 21st. JK Security Solutions. They are locally owned, they are veteran owned, they are family owned. So contact my good friends at JK Security Solutions. I'm Jim Rollins alongside.
Pardon my reach.
Hi, Molly.
I just want to be able to see us.
Yeah. You can put us on. I think that's a Riley problem, but I could be wrong.
I don't think so.
No?
I can do it.
All right. You got it there. So
Riley,
you can see us
up,
on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream and stream us on the ESPN Wisconsin app. And we are basically talking it out about the Green Bay Packers. I don't necessarily have a siding unlimited poll question, but I'm curious where the Packers are at in their roster building. They're in a weird position. And I'm trying, like, out of this draft, especially since you're starting the second round, maybe Cisse is a guy that pops off. But, like, there's nobody you're like, this guy, I would be shocked if he's not a blue chip player under 25.
I don't know enough about him to know. And it's way too early.
He's the one that probably has the best opportunity with where he was picked.
Right.
And his age and his position. Mm-hmm. It's all important. So, you look at the rest of the NFC North, is it concerning at all? And these teams are obviously all in different places, but I did find the whole thing interesting. So the number three team on here was the Bears. Their blue chip players are Colston Loveland, Roma Dunze, and Caleb Williams. And they're notable.
Roman Dunze? How do they say it? He barely played last year.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know. They don't list it on here. I think it's still what he's shown when he's been healthy is what I would imagine.
Okay, the other two, I agree with him. I'm kind of like, I feel like every time that they showed him, he was just on the sideline.
Honestly, if I was gonna do this, I would have put Luther Burden in there instead.
Okay, but I do like Colson Loveland and Caleb Williams.
And then a notable graduated player was Darnell Wright, who's a All-Pro right tackle.
Yeah, so, I mean, he had a million turnovers last year, didn't he?
No, you're thinking of a save. Darnell Wright's a right tackle.
Oh. Who am I thinking of?
Nashawn Wright.
Oh, okay.
He's gone.
Okay. Wow, I sounded stupid there.
You sounded
I apologize.
Like me.
But you know what? Right. At least I had the right last name.
I'm just
literally
glad,
the
I'm
right
just,
last name.
I'm just glad you felt it for a second because it happens. There's just a lot of
teams. Am I blushing? Right. My God. I'm turning red.
Right. So the Vikings at 13 were interesting. So worth noting, the Packers dropped, and this is ESPN's basically core players, basically elite type players under the age of 25. Mm-hmm. And the Packers were 30 on this list, if you're just tuning in. And last year they were 23. Chicago was 3 this year. Last year they were 5. So they've climbed up a little bit here. So then you look at Minnesota, and they are 13th. Last year they were 21st.
Okay.
They're the blue chip players of Donovan Jackson and Dallas Turner.
Don't know enough about either of them, if
Same.
I'm being honest.
I think Dallas Turner, my vibe is he's very similar to Roma Dunze of like, okay, you're trending in the right direction, but you got more to prove, and I'm not going to even pretend to know what an offensive lineman is as far as blue chip or not.
Hold on. What position do you think Dallas Turner plays?
And no, he's not a wide receiver. I just mean like Roma Dunze, you have to prove it. He's like, an edge. No, he's an edge.
It's like he is an outside linebacker.
No, yeah, he's okay. An edge. I just meant that like I don't think he's proven it.
Gotcha.
And like he's probably shown flashes just like Rome.
Yeah, I don't know enough about them to know.
So. Yeah, and then their kicker has apparently graduated out of this.
Who's their kicker? What's his name?
Richard? Ricochet.
Did you see that Ricochet got traded?
I did.
I saw that.
A pretty big trade for Lou Dort.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, no way. Now this is like the red car theory or whatever it's called, where you notice red cars. Oh, my gosh.
Ricochet! We got to get Ricochet on the show.
That's
I want Ricochet to be a buck.
Wait, we have Minute to Win It today, too. I forgot about it. Yeah, we do.
It's on here?
Oh, Riley has it on here.
Okay, all right. And then Detroit. Last year at 6, this year at 23. Their only blue chip guy is Jahmyr Gibbs, but they had Kirby Joseph, Sam Laporta, Penei Sewell, and Jameson William all graduate.
Has Sam Laporta done anything for 2 years? I mean, he's an Iowa Hawkeye. I love him, but like, come on. What are we talking about here? What are we doing? What's going on? No, but like really, though.
I would say that his
last year he had 489 yards, 3 touchdowns. I believe he was injured as
well. He's been hurt for the last 2 years,
I feel like. No, the year before he played 16 games. He had 60 catches for 726 and 7 touchdowns. Mm-hmm.
Huh. Which is still really done anything.
His first season, he balled.
Yeah, insane. Yeah. I think, honestly, 60 catches. If Tucker Kraft comes out and catches 60 balls for 726 and 7 touchdowns, that's a good season. You probably want a little bit more, but like, that's a good season for a tight end.
Okay.
So especially with, like, in this case with Detroit, they have a lot of weapons.
How long has Laporta been in the league?
He's going into his fourth year.
Wow. Feels like it's been longer than that. But also, there's
what
also, like...
What did he do to you? You were just really anti-Sam.
No. Just because I don't feel like he's done a ton. I think, honestly, I think I had him on my fantasy team.
That's always the core.
But then it's like you actually notice, oh, this guy's not doing crap this year. And also, he was injured. So, and I just felt like he hadn't done anything. But I might be also equating him to TJ Hockenson. You know, having that in my mind, too, where, like, he came from the Lions, went to the Vikings. Yeah. Really, he has not done anything for the last, like, 2 years. So... For what it's worth.
No,
check me on that one.
It happens. You know, you conflate players. You are conflating like a Rutledge today. You're just
Calm down. At least I didn't say that a wide receiver or a linebacker was a wide receiver.
I knew Dallas Turner. I was not saying he was a wide receiver. I said like Roma Dunze. I know that Dallas Turner is not a wide receiver. Because the Vikings are one of those teams where you actually just know their pass catchers because of how good they are.
Yes.
With Addison, Jefferson, and... the aforementioned Hockenson.
Yeah. I would say Naylor's better than Hockenson, at least last year he was.
I just meant, like, but isn't he a tight end? Is Naylor a tight end?
Yeah.
I didn't know Naylor was a tight end, so.
I think so. Or who am I thinking of? Jiminy Christmas. I might be conflating.
What is.
Nope, he's a wide receiver.
Okay.
Who am I thinking of that's their tight end?
Jalen
Naylor,
who you were going.
Hold on. Vikings tight end. Hold on.
This is good.
You guys, for real.
This is like Mad Dog.
Josh Oliver. That's what I was thinking of. Oliver's pretty legit, too.
Sure.
I'd take him over Musgrave.
All I know is anytime you say any football player with the first name Dallas, I instantly think Dallas Clark, tight end for the Cowboys. That is who my mind jumps to instantly.
And I jumped to, I think it was a baseball player, Dallas Braden.
Okay.
What was the Cowboys' old center? Biotish.
Yeah, Tyler
that's who
Biotish.
I think of. And it doesn't make sense because Tyler Biotish.
Biotish, I feel like I'm swearing.
I know, but it's all, yeah. Biotish! Jim, you're a Biotish. But since he played for Dallas, I automatically think Tyler Biotish. I have no idea why. Again, Rutledge.
Thank God she wasn't trying to talk about Tate Ratledge. She would have had a real rough time there. But.
Oh, that would have been bad.
Go be a winner. Go to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. Piggy Bank Boost Friday, July 31st. Went up to $25,000. We're going to play Minute to Win It. So what do I got to do here, Riley?
Why do you ask that every single time?
Because it's different now. I've gotten such a routine before, and now it's out of order.
You got to have two callers.
All right, Molly, what's Sam LaPorta's number?
Do you know 87?
87. Let's just assume it is 87. So I want caller 15. Dallas Clark, his number was 44.
84.
So let's go 8 and 15.
Okay.
I didn't know where he was going there.
I didn't either. I don't know.
Usually I could guess when it was Ryan. I was like, I'm going to write down a 7.
Oh, he is
87. Eight.
I'm right.
And then you go 8 and 15. All right. 844-770-3776. Caller number 8 and caller number 15. You're at least going to get a $25 gift card to North and South Seafood and Smokehouse. It might even be a $50 gift card to North and South Seafood and Smokehouse. Caller number 8 and caller number 15. 844-770-3776. That's Carbon Stock text line. This is more. On the ESPN Madison YouTube stream and stream us on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Molly, I hope you've drank a lot of Zoa to be ready for this.
Ooh, I had a lemon lime one today. I actually thought you guys might be able to tell just because I'm wired, but I don't have the jitters. It's just I feel alert and my brain fog is like not here.
So someone took my Zoa. I'm not mad at it because it was the, well, what's the kind that you don't, like, there's a flavor that, like, not your favorite. You bring it in and share it with everyone. Like, is it mango?
The mango isn't my fave, but I do like it.
Right, but you bring it in to share it with everyone.
Yes.
And so I have a mango, and I brought it in, and I put it in the fridge in there, and it's gone. But that's the fridge where the mangoes go to be shared.
Prime time.
Yeah, probably, and that's fine.
Actually,
I'm not mad about it unless one person will make me mad.
Might be Riley.
Riley wouldn't make me mad.
No, Riley wouldn't make you
see,
mad.
See, so it could have been me, but it also definitely wasn't me. When did you last check if the Zoa was there?
I just checked today. It would have. I think I brought it in on like Monday.
Oh, you left
because
it in there too long.
Earlier today, I took it out because I was going to drink it because I was like, oh, I saw mango Zoa in there. I'll drink it. But then I went and got lunch and got a Diet Pepsi with my lunch, so I put the Zoa back in the fridge.
Well, now I wonder if it's there if we just happened to catch the in-between time that I opened it.
Yeah, if we caught the perfect wrong time.
Well, I'll check while I tell everybody about Zoa.
Okay.
I want you to see if your Zoa is in the fridge because now we need to solve this mystery. But I absolutely love Zoa Energy. Riley, you just said that you like to drink it too.
I'm a
lemon,
big fan.
Lemon lime is my favorite. Have you had the lemon lime flavor?
I have not. I have only had mango because you bring it in all the time.
Yep.
And what is it? The white peach?
Jim has the mango one there. That is hilarious.
So we just caught the in-between?
Yes, white peach is delicious.
Big fan
honestly,
of white peach.
All the flavors are delicious. I absolutely love them. It gets me through the day. Honestly, like I have a long drive home. I don't want to fall asleep while I'm driving home, so I have a Zoa earlier in the day, and it's absolutely great. So if you want to find some Zoa for yourself, head over to ZoaEnergy.com.
Well, that's what it was. I was like, you know what? I want a Zoa today, and it just happened to be the time that you thought about having it. And I went to again. There's one person here I would have cared if.
Now I want to know who it was.
I don't want to put him on blast. But
Jesse.
No.
Okay.
It's a snack stealer.
Oh yeah. We got a snack stealer here.
Right, which, again, my snacks are open to everyone except for the snack stealer.
Except for snack stealer, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, because they never ask and never refill. That's just simple rules. Simple rules of society. All right, let's play Minute to Win It.
Will they beat the odds?
Well, I set the over-under too high. Sorry about that.
Anything is possible!
Or crumble under pressure?
Oh, I'm screwed.
That's ricochet.
This is the Minute to Win It on Molly and Jim.
It's fun to say.
For what it's worth, ricochet, spelling, terrible.
It is.
Pronunciation, terrible.
If I had to read it, I would have messed it up. Yeah. I just know it because I was at that NBA draft. And ricochet.
I was shocked when all of a sudden it came across the ESPN app over the weekend. It was like,
no way.
Getting traded for ricochet. I was like, ricochet is real.
Guys, but I'm like, will they even know? Because it doesn't even look like ricochet.
No, I as soon as I saw it, I knew.
I clearly had no idea it was pronounced ricochet. But the cat, or I guess, it's let's French. Start with the callers today. We have David in Madison. He was the first caller. He believes in you guys. He's taking the over. And then we have Kevin from Lodi. He's stuck with the under, but for what it's worth, he also believes in you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Today's category, because Jim and I earlier, as we were recording jump around, talked with Chris Orr, he went undrafted. I'm going with the top 10 most recent Wisconsin linebackers drafted.
Okay.
The over-under. The over-under. I think there's at least a couple names you could get, Molly. And Jim, I'm confident you can get a few of these.
I'm drawing blanks on Wisconsin linebackers.
For you.
What?
Do you want to take the easy one? You can start.
No, I'm genuinely drawing a blank. I could not tell you what they are.
Think of the first family of football.
You're on your own, kid.
Over-under is set at just 5.5.
First family of football.
The timer starts now.
TJ Watt.
Oh, that.
Correct.
Oh, JJ Watt. What's the other brother's
linebacker.
Name?
Linebacker.
Oh, sorry. I forgot that it was linebacker.
Leo Chanel.
Correct.
Good one. He has a brother. I don't know if his brother got drafted. What about the other one?
His brother's a fullback.
His brother's fullback. Okay. See, this shows you how much I know about them.
Jack Citchie.
Correct.
Well, you got like... We're supposed to alternate.
Andrew Van Ginkel.
That's literally it. Because I get an X every time that I don't do it.
We're playing it different now. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think we need to keep the going back and forth.
Okay,
or the three tries thing.
Go for it, because I know nothing.
I think it should be rattling off as many names
as you
can in a
minute. I'm trying to wonder, Bond and Edwards, were either one of them drafted?
You're really asking me. I don't pay attention to the NFL draft until now.
I'm going to go TJ Edwards.
TJ Edwards is incorrect.
And I don't think Bond was drafted. Or, you know what, Zach Bond.
He went to
that
the
is
Saints,
correct.
Right?
Yeah, okay. I got him backwards there, yeah. So
you need one more.
All right, linebackers in the NFL.
I'll give it if you get it in the next couple seconds.
I'm out of linebackers.
I feel like the Vikings had another one besides Van Ginkel, but maybe I'm wrong.
I'm going to miss an easy one there. Chanel, Sitchie.
Out of time. But.
Thanks, Molly.
I told you straight up, I don't know it. Also, don't care.
Wow.
I like when you're militant about not knowing something.
What do you want me to say? Do you want me to pretend? Do you want me to pretend like I'm brainstorming with you? You could have just said, the last 10 Badgers drafted, but also that would have been, going back, 5 years ago.
All right, you got almost every name I thought you would get. The one you missed was the most recent, Nick Herbig
Steelers. That's what I was, and I was trying,
Wait, what about what's-his-face?
You were not helpful at all.
What's his name? Keanu Benton, what position does he play?
Defensive tackle.
Oh, okay.
You're just naming Badgers,
I'm just thinking of defense.
Herbig is, because in my head, I'm like, there's another one. And I couldn't get, I was like, Chanel, Sitchie, and I'm like, there's another one, and I couldn't get it. And then obviously, the guy who was, I'm forgetting his name, the guy who was on the Bears and the Cowboys back to the Bears, but he wasn't drafted either.
Jack Sanborn, undrafted.
Yep. But his brother played for the Badgers too, so.
All right, Nick Herbig. That was the only one that I thought you would be able to get. So Nick Herbig, most recent, 2023. Leo Chanel, you got him, 2022. Zach Bond, you got him, 2020. This one is tough. Ryan Connolly was
don't
picked
even know
by
that
the
is.
New York Giants.
That's a tough one.
Andrew Van Ginkel, same year, 2019. Jack Citchie, 2018. Leon Jacobs in 2018.
Oh, he even referenced. Chris Orr even referenced Leon Jacobs.
He did talk about Leon Jacobs today.
A linebacker for the Badgers.
Thank you. That is what the list was.
So here's the thing. I was going to add this a little bit here. So Chris Orr is going to be on the show tomorrow. We taped it today on the jump around. That's 12:30 on ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube streams. Chris Orr's origin story as far as playing as a freshman was Leon Jacobs, in his word, killed a man. And then Leon Jacobs was then kicked out of the game and Chris Orr came in.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Was yeah, he was a good Cal story. Transfer, I believe, Leon Jacobs.
Potentially. I know he was a transfer from somewhere. I couldn't tell you where. But Leon Jacobs, 2018. TJ Watt, you got him, 2017. Also in 2017, by the Green Bay Packers, Vince Beagle.
Oh, I forgot about Vince Beagle.
I forgot that you existed.
Well, because you know what?
That
I'm
was
mad
the big,
at that
big controversy.
They screwed up because they could have had TJ Watt instead. Yep. They traded down and got Kevin King and Vince Beagle.
Mm-hmm. Big mistake by the Green Bay Packers. And the final one from 2016. Didn't expect you guys to get this one. Joe Schobert.
Oh, I know Joe Schobert.
I forgot about him.
Yeah. See, I didn't know he was drafted. I would not,
heard that name.
I would not have guessed that he was drafted either. No. 10 years ago by the Browns in the fourth round.
Wasn't it fun when Wisconsin Badgers used to actually get drafted?
Because there was like Blake Sorensen, who I don't know if he was drafted or not, but he was a linebacker, played a little bit in the NFL. There was like a decent amount of those guys that kicked around for a little bit. A little bit of linebacker use, especially when Gary Anderson got here with Dave Aranda.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Before we go to break here, Riley, and then Molly's going to tell us about Metro Key of Madison, there was one really interesting tidbit from the Chris Orr interview that I think you want to share with our fans. And I think it hits with you specifically because you're a fan of this player. Do you want to share the information? Or
do you know
what I'm talking about?
I don't think so.
Okay, so Chris Orr was at Baylor for about six months helping Dave Aranda recruit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. And before he got the job at Jacksonville State as the linebacker coach. So when he was at Baylor, he was recruiting Mason Posa.
Really?
And then when Mason Posa, like, and then Chris Orr's like, I don't know the staff there at Wisconsin, but I can't tell you a bad thing about the university or the football pro, like any of that stuff. He's like, it's amazing. So he's like, I'm not going to like negative sell them on that stuff. He's like, the staff, I don't know, but the rest, he's like, I got to be honest, like Madison's fantastic.
It's a great story.
That's cool.
He was recruiting Mason Posa. That story will be on the jump.
Great recruit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to listen. I miss Chris Orr.
We did reference you.
Oh,
yes.
But I think he got confused. He did say hi, but then he like congratulated me on the twins, and I was like, no, Molly had twins.
Oh, Jim, you had twins.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes. I think he got confused a
little
bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
We follow each other on Instagram, me and Chris Orr, and he likes my story sometimes, so he has to know who I am.
He knows who you were, and I told him, like, Molly had twins. And then he's like, oh. And then I think it was just more of like, because it was third person. He's like, well, congratulations, dog. And I'm like, not.
You're like, thanks. I'll tell her.
Yeah.
I'll be sure to relay the message.
Right. Not my twins. All right. But congratulations, dog.
Thank you. And you can congratulate me on my Kias from Metro Kia of Madison. If you're looking for a new car, Metro Kia of Madison is absolutely the place that you need to go to. I love my Kia K4 and our Kia Carnival for our family. And I had the absolute best experience there. And you can too. From their sales team to their service team and literally everything in between. Everything has been absolutely amazing. And it's been nothing short of fantastic every time that I go there. So if you are looking for a new car, head over to Metro Kia of Madison.
Ruth's Fish Steakhouse in Middleton, home of the Sizzle, Swizzle, and Swirl. Happy hour. And make sure to say hi to Lee and Kevin out there at Ruth's Fish Steakhouse in Middleton. I am craving a steak, but next time we're going out there, we're doing a little appetizer smorgasbord.
Zucchini fries.
You said you might try some of the...
Maybe try some of the calamari, but they give you a lot.
Yeah, well, I like fried calamari.
You can eat the whole thing. I'll just have a couple bites.
Exactly. I think you're going to like it more. It's not very fishy tasting. It tastes delicious over at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton, like everything over at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. Riley, you almost missed the jump around today.
That I did.
How did you do that, Riley?
So let me tell you the story I told the three doctors I saw today. Friday, I tweaked my left hip at jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
Saturday, felt fine. It was a little sore, but nothing serious. Sunday, again, wake up sore, but then I'm walking around. I'm getting lunch with my girlfriend downtown. I take a wrong step, and I just feel a shooting pain up the outside of my hip. And I'm like, that can't be good. I'm hobbling around the rest of the day, but I sleep it off. I feel all right on Monday. And I'm like, okay, I'm good to go. I just needed a good night's sleep. We're fine. We're back.
Yeah.
So I play. I have an intramural softball game on Monday. Okay. Decide to play that because I'm feeling good.
And
I feel,
you're also 25 years old.
Exactly. And okay. I feel great most of the game. I step weird at one point, maybe second to last inning, but it wasn't too serious. I finish the rest of the game. We win 5-3. Big dub. Well worth it. But then we go to the restaurant after the fact, and I take a bad step there again. My knee totally buckles, and I'm hopping around on one leg the rest of the evening. And I figure, though, I slept it off the night before. I'll just sleep it off again. All day yesterday, I'm walking around a little gimpy. I'm taking bad steps more consistently. The shooting pain is relatively constant. And it peaked at dinner time. I'm leaving the establishment, and I can't put weight on my left leg anymore.
Oh, no.
My girlfriend is like arm under my shoulders, and I'm leaving the restaurant like an injured player just got his ACL torn.
Yeah.
Hobbling off the field to get to my car. And I decided it was time
to
urgent care. No, I was able to drive myself home. She followed me to make sure I got in safely and could, get up the staircase, which I was holding both railings. But we made it. Called her mom, called my mom, decided, it was probably best to go to urgent care this morning.
Okay.
Which I did. They did x-rays. Hip is fine. The bone structure, that is, no fractures, no breaks, which is huge. And they basically said, we can't do anything for you. Rest for a week. Take some ibuprofen. Call sports medicine. They can get you an MRI and all that jazz. But it still hurts. It's been worse. But, now we're here. We made it.
So, yeah. Okay. So that sucks.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, do you know how much an MRI costs?
Probably a lot of money, but hopefully my insurance covers it, or it's a very small copay.
Your own insurance, or are you on your parents' insurance?
Last year of being on my parents' insurance.
That's why I assumed you called your mom.
Yes, to make sure, because it was bad enough last night. I was like, maybe urgent care is closed, but maybe I just go into the emergency room.
Yeah.
I don't need to rush. I'll be fine. But just to be safe.
Yeah.
And then I called my mom, and she was like, that'll be $100 if you go to emergency room. If you go to urgent care, it's free.
And then if they have to do all the tests and the x-rays, then it's going to be an emergency room x-ray.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was like, nope, we're good. I can wait.
Yep. My son got x-rays in the emergency room in January. Hefty bill. But at least for the bright side, everything else that I do this year is going
to
be free.
I was going to say, if you're going to have a catastrophic thing, you have to go to the emergency room, do it in January.
Yeah.
Depending on the type of insurance you have.
Yeah. Yeah. Make sure traumatic events happen in January.
Better insurance than we have. So,
for now, yes.
Yes.
Next year at this time, no.
So you called your mom and your girlfriend's mom?
Yep.
Why your girlfriend's mom? Is she in the medical profession?
She has EMT experience as well. And also, motherly perspective. So
fair. Yeah.
Are you excited to get a call from like Luca and Tyson's girlfriend sometime if they're injured?
For sure. I mean, if I like her. Depends.
The question.
Actually,
that's my new license plate. If I like her,
right there, you go. Lick her. I would say, it would probably be Livy. Would you be happy with?
Yeah.
Her?
If I like him. If I don't like him,
you're not gonna answer. So it's good that. It seemed like she enjoyed the call.
Yes, it was good.
I don't know if enjoy is the right word, as Riley's going through shooting pain that he can't walk.
No, I said she, not
yes,
Riley.
I know.
Yeah, but so, Molly, when have you, or maybe you still do, because you got like a thing going on. When did you stop calling your mom about your injuries?
Okay, well, one, my thing, just so that everybody knows, is I may or may not have an ingrown toenail, and I am slightly terrified because I was informed of what they do, and I don't want to get my toenail cut off, and I don't want to get my toe cut off.
So
what was your next question?
So I was in here, and like Molly's like on the phone, and like
I'm trying to get a hold of a podiatrist.
And I
told Big Papa to call a podiatrist,
and I told her. I told her immediately. I'm like, you're not going to get in with a podiatrist. You're going to have to go to a doctor.
Yeah, you got to get a referral.
I got to go
to like urgent care if this sucker's still hurting by Friday. I got to go to urgent care to then get a referral to go to a podiatrist.
So,
but
like
yet
this,
they keep asking me if I have a.
But wait.
What is it? Primary care doctor. Don't have one of those.
So, like, she's running through all this, and I was like, why are you wasting? This is fool's errand. But the part that got me You're like, oh, there's like a little bit of something inside my sock.
Well, because she asked me, she's like, is it bleeding? I was like, there's a little bit of something in there.
She's heard worse.
She's heard worse, okay?
She has, but that was the part like I was trying not to pay attention. I was like, what? Molly Jim.
Imagine the peace of mind knowing your home or business is safe 24/7. I'm Jeffrey Beckman, president of J&K Security Solutions, and we provide security you can trust. Serving Madison and southern Wisconsin, J&K Security Solutions offers state-of-the-art home and business security systems tailored to your needs. From video surveillance to home and business automation, to find out how J&K Security can help secure what matters most in your life, visit jksecurity.com.
Coors Light presents...